Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Jump into a nerve pill pod and load into your EVA because another angel's descended from the heavens to attack your HQ. Will this be an action-packed anime episode or another philosophical exploration of mankind's place in the universe? Find out along with us as we dive into the psyche of Hideaki Anno's cosmic neon Crisis Evangelion. This is your interlaced fingers of a terrible father figure GM Patrick here, Machiavellian-like plotting behind my son's back. And joining me in defending humanity are my five friends and disposable EVA pilots to my far left. The hard scrabbling German beauty of a pilot with mommy issues. It's Jabert jabbering away as Jamfram.
Yeah, willkommen.
Willkommen. Willkommen. Across the digital table from me, he may be the fifth child and the 17th angel, but he's number one favorite gray on this podcast. It's Miles Making Believe is Redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, clone mama and world ender, ball taker and limb breaker, it's Tyler talking us Pradier.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, get in the yap dang Eva, Shinji, and stop crying. We have Drew dying to play Zilix though.
I'm in my chair in the final episode.
clap for Drew, everyone. And across from him, she's cracking open brewskis and petting a penguin to relax. It's none other than Rebecca rolling with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
How weird is that intro?
I hate you so much.
If you know nothing of the show, it's a really weird intro. And just realize.
I don't know the first thing about Evangelion.
I just remember like 7 years ago when we did the anime intro for the show and we made art of Patrick as the dad.
Shinji's dad. Shinji's dad, yeah.
With the glasses on and all of that.
Yes.
That was fun. That was a fun time.
Who's we in that sentence? We made art?
No, it's no. The royal we. I actually have a mouse on my
Rebecca pocket. Coming in hot.
Good times.
Was that the fastest distancing oneself from a previous work of art?
Who's we?
Love that.
Rebecca does not get enough credit.
Patrick, I got to say, I have new respect for you. I've had to do a few intros in your style recently.
Sorry, I misspoke. I have no respect for you.
did I say new? It is not easy to do that.
It's not easy being cheesy.
Thank you.
Good job. Stellar work.
Thank you.
Keep doing it. Don't make me have to do too many more.
Okay, I'm sorry you're too good of a GM that you're gonna have to take over for me now. You should have phoned it in like I do most every week.
Do we have Patreon money to shop out the intro writing so I don't have to? I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we got more of Tyler GM. If you guys haven't heard, it's on our Patreon the last couple of weeks. Is
I ruined it.
Miles ruining Tyler's first big GM break.
I got Tyler's like kind of laughing, but also nodding like, yeah, Miles ruined it.
Oh, to be fair, I'm just bringing out all the gremlins when I'm GMing. It's just,
I mean, you invited me.
That's just the way it be, but it was fun. I just finished the edit recently and I was laughing the whole way through.
So. Are you guys ready to get back into Cosmic Crit this time, this week, to talk about first what happened last week? You guys want to get back to it?
I'm calling it. There are no errors. No errors.
Right. Well, let's read together as
we should stop doing that.
Last time on Cosmic Crit, you all leveled up to level 6 and upgraded the group's vehicle to a war wagon drawn by spare parts. Later that day, you all happened upon the open glade beneath a massive tree where several ruins lay bare beneath the shaded site. Exploring here, Zilix offered to climb the tree for a better vantage point, only to be attacked by a moon flytrap. After swallowing the nanosite hole, the party started attacking it wildly, with Redacted scoring the first hit with a laser pistol blast. After getting out of the plant's mouth, Zilix led the party to victory, but not before it swallowed another team member. After the melee, Asher and Sky activated a magical scrying pool trap and got a blast of hallucination taking place on the moon of the planet. What's wrong with that? Or is nothing wrong, Drew?
So
I have a correction.
Oh, Rebecca.
Zilix did not lead the party to victory. Asher and Sky got the killing blow.
Okay, well, it wasn't about who got the killing blow, but
wow, I didn't help with the art. I didn't help in combat. I get it.
Wait, weren't you inside the monster most of the time?
No, I got out and I attacked it multiple times.
Not one thing wrong there, Rebecca. Sorry. Anybody else got one?
So this might be semantics, but you said that we upgraded to level 6 and then later that day happened upon the glade. But we found the glade on the middle of day 5.
You know, I actually had put that in as an error, but I forgot about it. Yes, that is actually, that is a 6th error potentially in the,
wow,
the secret 6th error. Yeah, you've unlocked the secret.
Zilix didn't get out of the plant's mouth. He had to cut his way out of one of its sacks, I guess we'll call him.
I've written here big old pods, but yes, that is correct. Zilix got swallowed whole and put in a pod. Time out.
All right. The first time won't be the last.
Jabert Miles need one more error here. You guys get a
reroll. You got one, Jabert.
I have a suspicion.
Go for it. Cause I don't know.
Okay.
I'm
not convinced this is right, but it seems like an easy thing for Patrick to switch around. So like
Jibbert is dipping into his Quentin Tarantino impression.
Once again, there's like 4 more things.
So I'm going to say, I don't think that Redacted got the first hit. I don't think he got the first hit.
Unfortunately, I think he did.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't listen to this podcast.
It's up to Miles to save it.
No.
Miles.
That was mine.
A pretty obvious one that I think I can.
So I do remember.
You would think, but.
So it's worded weird here because it says Zilorg's offered to climb the tree for a better vantage point. I know that Asher and Sky wanted to climb the tree, but I don't think they did.
Yeah, I think Zilix bullied Asher and Sky into letting
I was so happy about that. It was so great. I was like, oh, you guys want a beeline for the only monster here? Okay. I mean, there could be other monsters. Never mind. Lots wrong here, Miles. Just shot in the dark. Go for it.
Wait, did it swallow somebody else? Did it swallow Zilix twice?
No. It swallowed
you. I don't know. I don't listen to the podcast either.
I put one in here just for you. I said you go leveled up to level 6 and upgrade the group's vehicle to a war wagon. It's not the group's vehicle. It's Redacted's vehicle.
Oh, gosh. Silly. Oh, come on. Talk about semantics.
That's not semantics. You've corrected me on that several times.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Patrick, I'll give you that because I think I corrected you like last week about that.
The ruin did not lay bare beneath the shaded site. They were vine choked and... I said you were attacked by a moonfly trap. It is a moon flower.
Also happens to be the title of the episode that came out last.
And I believe Praetir technically is the one that activated the magical shrine pool trap. Although Asher was there. Asher and Sky was there. Asher identified it, right?
I can't. Well, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You think you did not do it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I don't think I activated it. I remember specifically being like, Praetir's going to stand back here. You should put your face into it or look into it or maybe put your head into the water like a Palantir kind of thing because he didn't want the trap to go off in his face and then you dragged him into it anyway.
Well, no, after she identified what it was, you guys went to try to deactivate the magic, and I believe you failed technically and took the brunt, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I see.
Doesn't matter. No episode reroll. Fortunately.
Yeah.
And you don't get one either, right? Because we got 2 things.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
A level playing field. Perfect.
Indeed. Yeah. Last week's episode, Asher and Praetir got a vision after activating the scrying trap showing it seemed like a very dark, ominous shadow enveloping the moon of this planet. And this week's episode starts with you coming out of that trance, maybe getting a chance to take a breath and talk about what you just saw, what you just experienced. As Asher and Prater have to say about that. You heard voices that sound like they were perhaps in a fight or in flight, and someone shout out, you know, look out, Alindra.
Was there, so you talked about a moonscape, you talked about, I think, domed brass buildings. Was there, did we see enough to make some kind of knowledge roll against the location to kind of figure out vaguely where they might be?
Yeah, I mean, you could double check here with a physical science check, maybe culture.
Got it. I'm going to knock it out of the park as soon as I get my character sheet up and roll the dice. Mm-hmm. You said culture?
I'll take that, yeah.
I'm cultured.
I mean, it definitely seemed like the rocky, craggy surface of this world's moon, a place you've not visited, but you have seen other folks have mapped out pretty, you know, I guess I've started that mapping process, but is a moon without an atmosphere. Is very similar to our Earth moon in that way. But yeah, you're not sure what exactly is you saw there.
I guess, you know, Prater might turn to Asher and Sky and say, well, if what you saw what I saw, I assume.
I think so.
Did you think so?
I mean, have we talked about what we saw?
What I don't know. What did you see? What did you see?
No, you tell you me first.
Oh, absolutely.
We say it on three.
We say it on three. One.
Can we figure out, like, do we know if this is something that is potentially happening now or will happen in the future or happened in the past? Like, how does a scrying basin thing work?
Yeah, scrying usually shows you things that are happening now. If I remember correctly, I think that's how usually most of the scrying spells and stuff. Jabert, are you talking? Are you trying to weigh in here?
Oh, no.
Okay, sorry. I see your. Sorry.
No, I was like mouthing silently a joke that I wanted to tell that was too inappropriate to actually say on the podcast.
So sorry.
I was imagining how hilarious it would be for all of you guys, but I thought maybe I wouldn't interrupt this time. But even my silent, man. Even my silent, super fun risque jokes are.
What? What a absolute Miles. Gentleman. Thank you, Miles.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Miles, you missed Jabert's venereal disease joke that we all got to.
Oh, spoilers. That's not going to be out for a while.
Spoilers for the episode that hasn't come out yet. Yeah.
I'll just cut that out. Bleep it. There you go. No, Prater will say what he saw and go, well, if what I saw, what we saw is true, then it begs the question of how did a group that we've been following all of a sudden make it space side to the moon? A little perplexing.
I mean, spaceships exist.
Sure, but what, they just randomly found one out here in the middle of nowhere in a world that hasn't been known about for...
Or were they abducted?
Remember when we found the Drift Rider just on that asteroid in season one?
Yeah, in a super modern complex? Yeah.
And you know how we found super modern complexes just under the ground on this planet? I'm just saying, it's possible.
Yeah. Did they have a spaceship in them or a pod or a bay?
Well, do you guys want to continue to explore the site here? This place where they definitely seem to have set up like a more permanent camp, or one of the last places they seem to have set up camp as well. Their tents and things were here. There's a few other areas of note here. We've got this kind of cleared away section kind of closest to the camp to explore. There's like a large kind of divot in the earth over here that seems like there maybe some excavation has been going on. There's a large, somewhat broken looking archway, a large stone archway to the southeast of the camp as well. And this goes for Jamfram, Zilix, and Redacted. You guys can all take a look, see about in one of these locations if you'd like.
Do any of these locations require climbing? Because I'm pretty good at that.
I think you've been grounded, Drew, for a while.
No, not really.
But
then we'll drive over to Area 4.
And Zilix will go over to Area 8.
You've kind of marked on the map, and I can hardly see these. Well, why don't you both make me a perception check whereabouts you're
you're at. I mean, everyone can if you want to move around different areas of the map. I'll tell you what you see if you see anything of interest. Everyone rolling the rocks right now. Okay. Yeah, for the most part, it looks like these are sites that have not been touched by this previous team, as most of them seem to be still covered in moss and vines and choking plants and things like that. Probably most of these would take a long amount of time to get to a point where you can see the actual structure underneath. But just like ripping some of the rooted vines off of the wall, you can tell parts of the walls here have, you know, the markings of stoneworking and perhaps some different like icons and symbols kind of carved into the walls. You maybe see like also the depiction of like a figure in one of these, but it would take some time to uncover. And by some time, I mean probably in the neighborhood of better part of a day to uncover a single ruin. Like 8 hours, I guess I should say. I guess if everyone worked together, it'd probably take a couple hours, but one person, 8 hours. But there are like one, two, three, like seven or eight that are completely covered up still. So there's a bunch of them. Let's see. Drew, with your roll here, your very good roll, you can see on the southern edge of the glade what looks like this kind of gash in the hillock here to the south, what indeed looks like a pit that seems to have a small cave in it, maybe a downward sloping cavern sunken into the earth.
Now we're getting somewhere.
That's what you can see from here. That's this area right down here. Do you want to explore?
Didn't we almost drown the last time we went in a cave?
Caves are a lot of fun. You are correct, Tyler.
I would have got like a life bubble.
That would be you, Tyler, if anyone.
I'm not that kind of mystic. We need another mystic.
I will not. Do I see anything around the cave that might indicate that the people we're looking for ventured that way?
Maybe some of the vines here have been cleared away a little bit to reveal that indeed there's a cavern entrance here, but you don't see signs of like heavy excavation in this area. But it does seem like perhaps someone looked here and maybe someone went down. Who knows?
So I'll radio that to everybody. I found a cave. Perchance we should explore it later.
You can probably climb on the walls of the cavern. You're looking for a place to climb.
I'm a good climber. I've always said that.
If there's water down there, you can just climb over it. Right?
That's what I had this one. I did last time we were in a cave.
Both our good friends, Pradier and Jamfram, don't see much in this site except more buildings that could be cleared away. But from here, you have a very good vantage on what looks like a large circular kind of stone gate about 40 feet in diameter on the eastern edge of this site. It looks like almost complete except for the keystone of this large arch seems to be missing. And yeah, it does look like some of the vines have been cleared away off of the base on each side of the arch. And
is the arch still standing without the keystone? Is it like a magic arch then?
It is.
Or is it just like, yeah.
Do you want to make me a culture or mysticism? Chill.
You know that I don't.
Is it a golden arch? And can I get a double cheeseburger?
Yeah, I'll point it out to my good friend Pradier, and I'll say, Pradier, I don't know much about engineering, but what do you say about, isn't that seems like that wouldn't be standing. What's this arch? What's what with this arch?
Prater's kind of holding his head. He's like, oh, the last magical thing has given me a headache. Let me see this arch.
This one, yeah. I check it. No, this one's not trapped.
Oh, thank you. Okay, let's see. And then I get a 26 on mysticism.
This is very much in the style of archway that you have seen, at the very least, in several books from Castrovel. Very similar in structure to was known as
an Ayudara?
Ayudara.
Oh, yeah.
The mythical elf gates used for teleportation
Yeah, I bet this is how you get to this is how you get to the moon. This is how you get to the moon.
I think you're right. I think this is how we get to the moon. But I
do you want
must
to
have do you hit want the to, keystone right because it needs the keystone to turn on.
Well, do you want to go over and investigate, pray dear?
Oh, I gotta investigate.
Can I do a very special guess that the keystone is going to be in this cave that we've circled on the map?
Drew, no.
I'm into caves, man. What can I say?
Go down there, Drew. No one's stopping you.
All right.
Solo adventure.
As you get closer to it, Praetor, you kind of feel drawn to it, perhaps magically kind of compelled to go over and perhaps touch some of the stones. And indeed, as you get closer to it, it feels like you can understand that this Ayudara perhaps has indeed been used recently. I think you can sense maybe like a lingering magical kind of aura about it. And you're pretty sure if you took some time, you might be able to invest some magical energy into it to see perhaps how it worked.
Okay. All right, Jamfram, give me a minute. I'm going to try and... It's been a long time since I've fondled ancient elvish stones, so this will take me...
Phrasing.
Oh, sorry. What do you use when you talk about caressing ancient magical stone?
We usually call it waxing the elf wood, but yeah.
Okay. Well, it's going to take me a while to wax the elf wood. I don't know why we're using a wood term here for stone.
But... It's super hard.
Yes, due to the hardness of it.
Yeah, the turgid rigidity. Yes,
that makes sense. Elven stone is very hard.
Mm-hmm. All stone's hard. That's not a good identifier.
Hey, can you not interrupt our role play right now?
You know what they say about elf wood and so stone. Angry.
And yeah, Praetor will put a black tentacle appendage. Oh, right. No, he transformed that back.
I'm cool. You got one of those? Oh yeah.
Yeah, he can turn it back, but yeah, he's got to put his hands on the stone. And what do I need to roll?
Well, it'll take some time. Do you want to start? It feels like a ritual that you might have to link up with.
Why don't you guys go figure out what's in that cave, and I'll do the ritual and meet up with you.
All right.
See you next week, Tyler. See you.
Tyler leaves the room. Leaves podcast, leaves the room.
No, I still got to make notes because of the last time off.
I can't be left in the lurch again. All right. Yeah, so who wants to venture into this mine? It's really not super wide. You'd have to be going pretty single file down here.
Well, Zilix, how deep, like, is it like sheer? Like, do we need climbing equipment? Well, does everybody else need climbing equipment, or is it something that we could just walk in?
It looks like the front of this cavern, from what you can see from the outside, is mostly overgrown and has been kind of reclaimed by the earth. So, I mean, from the start, it looks a little rough.
Well, I will volunteer to lead, because if I fall, I can grab onto a wall, and that is something that not everybody else can do.
Fall wall. Okay. I mean, it's not a super large cavern. If you guys are indeed glumping down here, it is, you know, some tight curves in some areas as you have
in
a
all
sloping
the right places.
It's a sloping pathway that goes down, down, down into the earth and becomes a dark tunnel. But as you get past the entrance, it turns. It's very well crafted, well cut stone here, and, you know, fairly stylized. There's like little indentations in the side, perhaps to run your hands along. And
would you say that it's ribbed?
No, the opposite. It's indented.
It's studded. Okay, yeah. I know the one you're talking about now.
No, it's the opposite of studded.
It's for my pleasure. Yes.
it's pitted for you. Or indeed, you, I think, can probably get a sense that these could not have been cut easily by hand, perhaps were shaped by magic in some form or fashion. This tunnel only goes about 100, 150 feet or so before it comes to a very abrupt end, as it looks like it has caved in, completely at the end. There's no side passages that you've found. It just seems to end here. You're in the lead. Zilix, what do you want to do?
So I have dark vision. Can I see anything?
Make me a perception check.
17.
Bunch of crunchy rocks, light colored rocks beneath your feet in front of this.
You can tell that these aren't elven rocks because they're not hard. They're crunchy. They're too soft.
Well, it's almost like a gravel pit, gravel. Kind of here towards the edge of this cave in. And as you perhaps shine a light behind you shines on this. Why don't you make me a physical science check? Take a look at your feet. Anybody that's in the cave can do it, but
sorry, imagine. It just wasn't working.
Oh, Zilix has got it.
I told you I love caves. 28.
Yeah, you rock up and find, get it? You rock below. You find some very valuable looking geodes in this rock pile here, along with some precious stones that looks like they were just shorn from the wall, perhaps, or from the cavern at some other point. There are, let's see, 11 geodes and stones that you can identify here that would be worth pretty penny each, about 500 credits.
Nice.
A piece each.
But are there any keystones?
No, this cavern's really not large enough for the keystone that would go to the archway. All right. I'm putting this in the loot pile now, but do you guys want to divvy up said G-stones so you don't forget that you got very expensive stones?
Yeah, how many each?
It's about 5,500 credits worth of stones.
Should have gone on this trick myself.
So 1,100. 1,100 each if you're divvying up and leaving out poor cattywampus.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Has his contributions not meant anything to you?
Okay, Wampus gets money when he gets a human soul.
When he becomes a real boy.
Exactly. AKA when one of us kicks the bucket, takes over his character.
Okay, Wampus all of a sudden has the sky symbiote on him. And Azure's gun is like, it'd be nice if you guys could call me Azure. I make Rebecca do the voice.
No, we're not doing that.
No, do it.
No, you're still going to be whatever your name is.
Whoa, that's cruel. I know your character doesn't like him, but Tyler, give him some respect.
No, sorry. As long as I'm in Prater's character and voice, you will always be less than whatever you are.
Oh, right. So do you guys want to get back topside and see how the ritual is going?
I love checking the ritual.
You get up there and Prater is just eating a bucket of KFC.
Hey, where'd you get that?
Whatever it allows you to meditate, get into a meditative state.
He tries to gobble it up quickly so that you guys don't notice, but he fails.
Is that Castrovel fried chicken?
You got it.
Oh, man. Anyway. CFC. As you get up there, you indeed sense through meditation, Pradier, perhaps the ritual that would have been observed long, long time ago at this site, and in centering yourself in front of this ancient portal, feel your thoughts drifting, perhaps magically somewhat separating your mind from your body, and begin to float in a liminal space between the portal and yourself. And indeed, your thoughts return to visions of the moon, the voices that you heard there, maybe the dark shadow that seemed to envelop it. And after an hour or so, there's a sudden boom. You're hit with a cold wave of spiky magical energy that seems to electrify your skin, cause your hairs to stand on end. And as you open your eyes, you see, all of you can see, a shimmering pool of mercury-like magical energy that seems to ripple like waves on an ocean in front of this stone archway. It's an opaque portal that seems to have no thickness to it. As you can peer around the backside of it and see, it just seems to be a plane in our reality that is blocked out. It's Fargate. It is legally distinct.
Goes far, get it?
Yes. Potentially. I mean, this is, who knows where it goes? Who can tell? What would you guys like to do?
Well, this probably leads to the local moon, so if there's anything you all wanted to do here, I would suggest we do it before turning on environmental
for protection. Example, yeah, for example, breathing air, if you want to do that before we go, that's fun.
Yes, this would
everyone take deep breath.
Yes.
everyone use the bathroom before we go, because you can't like open up your butt flap in space. Like,
do we want to look around some of these other places that we haven't seen to see if there's any like supplies that were left behind or anything like that?
Go for it.
All right. Zilix looks around the rest of the camp.
Yeah. One of the only places you've not really explored here is the one that was closest to the campsite. And it seems to be probably the building that's most intact. The walls stand the tallest. And indeed, as you take a look at it, you can tell this is one of the only sites that where all the plant material seems to have been cut back, revealing the inner building, the inner structure's walls completely. And indeed, as you get closer and look at these walls, there's little numbered cards that sit on the ground, perhaps next to features, maybe parts of the wall, some writings. And one of the cards has in common the word home written to it. And as you look up above it, carved into the stone, the words for home or homestead in Elven are carved there. Indeed. Does anybody want to make a culture or physical science check examining said ruins?
Sure.
I can do physical science.
Looks like we've got a couple of good rolls here. This is definitely enough to examine these ruins and identify them as not hundreds of years old, but perhaps several thousand years old. This site has been probably abandoned for quite some time, pre-gap times, potentially. Nothing else in the camp that you can find here that seems to be of any value. Like I said, last week we went through the campsite of different tents and things. I don't think you found much of anything of use. A lot of clothing and things that would be left behind, but a lot of adventuring gear, it seems to be missing. Some things that you would expect to find there, like packs and tools and things like that. Right, so back to the portal, back to the fun stuff. What do you guys want to do with the portal?
I think we should all hold hands and walk through together.
Oh, absolutely not.
I think we should all activate our protections.
Yeah, environmental protections. Yeah.
Well, yes, because I do think we are going to be walking straight into vacuum. So I agree that is probably the wisest.
Yeah.
But I think we should send the car through first. Or the wagon. I forgot. It's a wagon now.
War wagon.
Why? Because that means that the first thing that goes through the portal will be spare parts. And if something goes very badly with the portal and I can sense it magically, then we have lost nothing of value.
Can I lift your responsibilities for you, sir? As well as the vehicle. Well, yeah, you guys can just pile in the space wagon and head on through if you'd like.
I have a question. Can I take my comm unit, turn on the camera, and throw it through the portal and see on Praedir's comm unit if it's seeing things, like what it sees on the other
yes.
side?
Yes, you can. Doing so, it does not transmit as you throw it through the portal. It seems to stop.
Too far. It's too far away. The moon is so far away.
Roll a d20 on a one. It's broken. You've thrown your phone on the ground for nothing.
Break it. Break it.
Ooh, so close. So next close. To it on the dice, one. Seven. All right. You definitely got a hairline fracture, though. Write that in your character sheet.
Okay.
You got to replace the screen for our credit.
Comm unit.
Okay.
The worth of my comm unit has depleted.
Yeah, you're not getting full resale value.
Yeah, you're not getting 10%. You're getting 2. You didn't buy the extended warranty.
Right, so as you guys drive or ride and or step through the portal, there is indeed an icy blast as you maybe catch breath in your lungs as you're transported and violently kind of thrown out in the void of space. With your atmospheric protections up, there's just a little bit of a pressure differential as you move through here into a dark landscape indeed the pitted, rocky, cratered surface of a moonscape. And in the distance, hanging in the heavens above you, you see the continents, the lands, the storms of New Galarion silently spinning out in the void of space here. Looking around far in the distance, you see what looks like a little glint of metal, a little metallic sheen in the distance, some sort of perhaps man-made structure. Not much else, but perhaps more footprints in the tightly packed, powdery surface of the portal. Indeed, leading in that direction. I forgot that there's probably very distinct boot prints here as well.
Do I hear the sounds of battle that I heard through the scrying basin?
No, there's no atmosphere. There's no sound to travel. There's no medium for which the sound can travel, I guess. No, it is eerily quiet. I guess normally quiet for what the moon normally is, but it is very quiet.
I'll still say it's quiet, too quiet. But
well, you guys just went from a jungle of like chirps and clicks and big old bug sounds all around you to just cold and immediately still.
I take it if I turn around, the elven arch is still there, right? There's a
yep,
complimentary one.
Yep, perhaps covered in a good deal amount of soot.
And the nearby buildings, do those match the ones we saw in the scrying basin?
They're a bit far away.
I guess we know where we're going.
There's something to climb. You could probably get a better view, but no trees here on the moon.
You're not attacking me with another moonflower on the moon.
You would think that's where they would hang out, yeah. But no. No.
No, they just like it from a distance.
Yeah.
They're like the stalkers of the moon.
Yeah, no worries. There's no plants up here to eat you, Drew. Yeah, nothing at all. So, yeah, you want to head in that direction?
I think that seems to make the only bit of sense, considering.
How come when I saw the thing in the scrying basin, I heard sounds of battle and someone saying, look out, Alindra, but now sound doesn't travel? That doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, magic.
Yes, if you notice anything off about my descriptions, definitely a wizard did it, and their rules obviously do not, the laws of physics do not apply to them. I mean, you definitely didn't see anyone out on the surface of the moon in that vision. You just saw this sight, these dome structures, and heard sounds. An auditory hallucination is what those are called, right?
Often.
In auditory. Oh, right. As you galump, perhaps, do you guys want to, does anybody want to walk? Or is everyone okay being drawn in the old
I thought you were asking if we wanted wagon to walk as opposed to galump. And I was like, nah, I'll galump. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean.
Zilix can summon his car as well. He's got a car.
How can you do that multiple times a day?
It had no limit on the
oh my. I gotta get you a vehicle model. All right, so Zilix is outside of said thing. Does anybody else want to walk? Because once again, it is drawn by spare parts, so it's not going like a ton faster than what you guys can walk.
I'll moonwalk. I'll bounce along.
No.
We're just happy moonwalk, drive.
And that's the dance.
Pretty, are you staying in the vehicle? Yeah. No. Yes.
Yeah, I'll stay in the vehicle.
Okay. Right. As you move forward, indeed, you see cresting over the ridge of a crater climbing up the side here. Over this next hill, two metallic domes connected by a length of closed walkway in the distance. A very large structure that casts deep shadows across the cratered landscape here. There are myriad thick brass gears that cover the dome's walls and surrounds a very large set of doors set into one of the domes. You see them occasionally ticking and kind of grinding and moving all in unison. There's a shiny emblem of what looks like a red gem in the center of a spiral galaxy that can be seen embossed on these doors. And you see metallic cylinders poking from the ground at kind of regular intervals around the entire structure, perhaps looking like an old pirate ship's cannons kind of ready to blast. Do I have art for you? I've got art for you. Of course I do. Hold on.
Getting ready to ooh. Getting ready to ah.
To another map. Big old gear building.
Oh, yeah.
Big old gears.
This is where the Machine Empire fought the Power Rangers. Sorry.
Let's go. The gears of war.
It's bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Big gear.
Yeah, big gear.
Big gear. Cool, cool. Does anybody want to make, let's see here, even from this distance, an engineering check, taking a look at perhaps what you can scan or
sure.
peruse of this?
Is that 31?
Okay. Yeah, so this looks like a fairly ancient looking structure. You just came from an ancient elven site. This also looks perhaps thousands of years old. These clockwork mechanisms perhaps have not been used in millennia. And indeed, as you observe it from a distance grinding, you can tell that it's not really working on laws of physics, these gears. Perhaps it is indeed supplanted or enriched with magical kind of engineering of some sort. The gears working as kind of a base on which magical energy is amplified, perhaps providing energy or power for the structure. Does anybody about taking a look at this emblem on the door want to make me a culture check as well? Well, probably a pretty important
one. Rolling bad.
A couple bad rolls. Yeah, what do we got? Five on the dice, three on the dice.
How about I do a level reroll? How about that?
You always
for a skill check?
Yeah.
You what else can. I literally don't roll other things.
But like
I don't make attack rolls, so there's no reason to save it for that.
Well, as you're about to dig into this, I think Asher and Scott saves you because Rebecca maybe remembers seeing this in like an ancient history book. This is a very old emblem used and found only in the Aslanti Star Empire.
Ooh.
The ancient Aslanti, indeed.
I was going to say this description kind of sounded like the Aslanti prison. I was like, wait a minute.
They've been building these domed moon structures forever.
They got these things everywhere.
You mean the one we escaped in season two?
We broke out those cool folks. Cool good folks.
All back to season two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, that is what you can tell indeed from a distance. What would we guys like to do? Cattywampus has no idea what's going on here. He's like, oh man, that place looks pretty retro.
It's crazy.
Redacted, would you like me to take the war wagon there?
Tally-ho, right? Tally-ho.
Right, moving towards the main double doors here. Indeed, you see. They're fairly large and is indeed a powered airlock. As you get closer to it in the distance, you can see little lights on a pad outside. But as you get closer, maybe about 60 feet away, why don't you guys make me a survival check? Everybody, make a survival check.
Silix activates his sheath form.
Why?
Because I get plus one to survival.
Oh, look at you. Oh, you rolled a 7. Okay. Is everyone great at survival? Or no, everyone just rolled real rocks on this.
It's not survival.
Is this 3 16s here? Okay. All right. Well, sorry, Zilix. You're the one that doesn't feel the ground trembling beneath you, as indeed you see kind of like rocks falling off of other rocks and maybe a little plume of space dust pop up in the distance and see what looks like a giant rock emerging from the ground as you get a better look at it. Indeed has legs and shakes off some dust.
Oh, come on.
You see what looks like
a moon giant, huh?
A big old bug.
Ow. A moon giant bug.
You hear bug. Pray.
You hear Prater just sigh, just completely exasperated.
Look at this cool guy right here. I got a little bug art downloaded for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it is
bug.
It's a large creature, and it seems to be it's fairly close to the entrance here. But as it gets up, you can see it makes an intimidating display in your guys's direction. Let's roll into the initiative turn order. Literally everyone except Drew gets a action in the surprise round. So feel free to we'll talk about that in a second here. Well, 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 look at these rolls. Not great. 2, 3, 4.
Well, 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 look what we have here. Santa Claus, huh? I'm real scared. So you're the one everybody's been talking about.
You okay, Tyler?
Do we trigger Nightmare Before Christmas and Tyler?
Yep.
Okay. Right. So mover, standard action, Asher, Prater, Jamfer, and Redacted. That order. Asher and Sky, what would you like to do for a surprise?
Asher and Sky will move forward as much as they can.
Well, it's a, you know, standard or move action. So if you'd like to go right ahead. And same thing, Prater, you're still in the vehicle. Is there anything you'd like to do?
I just want to identify the bug.
Life science.
Boop. 24. Oh, that would
be smart.
This is space vermin, a planetoid beetle, a very large creature that can live in the vacuum of space, obviously. What would you like to know about it?
Special abilities? Special offensive abilities?
Do you want just like the one that would be most germane to you or what?
Yeah, the one that would be most, I guess what would be most helpful to Jamfram, actually, because I'm not getting anywhere near this thing.
Mm. I don't know. I think probably the most pressing and perhaps dangerous is this thing is like a big old bombardier beetle. It can literally spew acid that melts rocks that helps with its ability to tunnel. Its ranged attack can operate as a line attack. It's acid spit with a range of 60 feet.
It spits acid, so don't line up. Let's spread out, please. I will get out of the car.
No, it's cool. Just in one long line, if you guys want. Let's take this to a cave, a single file cave.
Conga line, everybody. It won't have as many targets to pick from.
Any move or standard you'd like to do, Tyler?
Yeah, just a classic run away. You know, whoop.
Jam from. You moving?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm probably going to move. Let's see, where's this thing? Yeah, I'll sort of. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I'll sort of step up into, well, maybe not right in front of the car.
The wagon. Redacted, same question. Oh, you actually, Redacted, it does go before Jamfram, but move or standard action, Miles?
Yeah, Redacted will move up.
30 feet for the wagon?
Yeah.
I can move you guys. One. Do you want to make a life science? I don't know if that's one you
definitely sure.
Know, right. But if you'd like, find out some other piece of information. You actually get a couple pieces of information with a 19 on the dice. What would you like to know?
Special abilities.
I think probably the one most germane to you is this thing can literally probably crack your vehicle in half. It has a special ability called Break Objects. When attacking an object, treats its hardness as 10 lower. So just rip the war wagon in half.
Okay, and
what else you want to know?
Yeah,
specifically.
Weaknesses or like, yeah, weakness.
No weakness. Yep, nope. I can give you a defensive ability if you'd like.
Yeah, any resistances? Maybe.
No resistances. It is immune to acid, though. I don't think now that we don't have a vanguard, that's gonna bug anybody.
Does it have a bug?
Pun intended. Oh, that's something you could ask on your turn, but what?
Actually, that question Redacted probably could be, does it have a brain?
Tyler, I think you knew the answer before you asked the question. I'm not going to dignify it, but yeah, no, your character has like no use for a long time. I'm so sorry.
All right, that's fine. Let me know. Hey, when you guys are almost dead, let me know and I will come running in.
Wisp ally. Okay, we are through the surprise round. We're talking turn one. Asher and Sky, full actions. What would you like to do?
I am going to pull out my gun and just be ready for it to come.
I mean, you could have done that when you moved last turn if you want.
Oh.
Yeah, you can take your weapon out as you walk.
Well, in that case, I could be very brave and try to come at it. That's what I did last time and almost got myself killed.
Yeah, but there were four dinosaurs then, right?
And there surely aren't more gigantic beetles to pounce on me.
It's just one gigantic beetle, yeah.
I'm gonna hold my turn.
Ooh, okay. Pradier.
Holding my turn.
Ooh, okay. Hold on. What did I roll on initiative? I rolled a 6, so it is actually the beetle's turn.
Yay!
Beetle time. Maybe a good use of your time because it's a fairly lumbering creature and does not have I always forget charge in Starfinder.
Move up to twice your speed and attack.
Yeah, I don't even think it can get there with charge because you guys are still pretty far away. Now, it can get right up to the vehicle, which I think it would sense as its largest threat because it is literally the largest thing here. Get within, just within range, and it will have to charge to do this. And it has an acid spit attack. What am I talking about? It of course can spit acid. Oh, and this thing is huge too. Why am I thinking it's large? Whoop, big boy. All right, taking that whole turn again. I'm just gonna move forward. Whoop, and it'll spit acid at somebody. Let's roll the old D6. And 3 will be redacted. 4 is going to be your vehicle. So tell me your turn. Oh, it's Asherin Sky. She's definitely the most threatening here. An acid spit attack.
Wait, are we healed up? We didn't talk about that, did we?
I'm sure I would have taken a 10-minute rest at least.
Well, yeah. I think at some point. You guys rested up after the Moonflower fight, but I don't know if Pradier and Asher said they wanted to take a 10-minute after the trap went off.
Yeah, can I retroactively do that? I didn't even think about it.
That's fine. Yeah.
I would definitely have been doing that while they were in the caves or something. I was doing nothing. So
you're just kind of chilling. You're vibing, I think, as a player. That's what I call it.
And resting as a character, it works out.
4 on the dice. This is a hit. You're hit with a big old glob of acid. It's not that much damage, right? It's a little bit D6 damage. Oh, but I rolled rocks. 24 points of acid damage.
24. Okay.
4D6. And that is going to take us. Oh, I guess Asher and T.I. Prater, do you want to jump into turn order now? Or were you waiting for it to get closer? Were you waiting for other folks? Where were you?
I'll jump in now and try to shoot it.
Okay. I mean, it struck first. Now it's self-defense. No court would convict you, the stupid beetle.
Let me put this in first.
All right. It's got a -2 to its armor class. It's a EAC KAC right now as it is flat-footed.
Okay. So CR 11 or lower on the trick and 27 to attack.
Trick and hit.
Okay. And it is flat-footed.
Oh, no. Sorry. It's not a hit. It's a super hit.
Oh,
19 on the dice.
Super hit.
You can get your critical effect on your pistol, which I believe is
Deafen. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no. I can't hear in space. Ah! Oh, no.
Well, this
is terrible.
Do sonic pistols do anything on the moon? We just established that sound does nothing.
Magic.
Here, so.
They're magical. It's okay.
Let's see here. As the condition, I mean, you're also like throwing off its equilibrium, which is a thing that can happen still on the move on the moon, which technically will drop it down the initiative turn order a little bit, which means next turn Redacted and Jamfram will get an additional turn before it goes. So critical hit effect in effect on the natural 19. What is our damage here?
24 sonic damage.
Okay. Bam, womp, womp, womp. You see Asher get a pinpoint strike and maybe a huge piece of its carapace back behind its hind legs just kind of shatters under the weight of the blow. Did you want to move as well? Or are you okay where you're
at? No, I'm staying where I am.
Then Prettier, do you want to jump in?
Hold on. Yeah, let me. I'm trying to. I'm going to move up a little ways and then cast Wisp Ally.
That'll do. That'll do. Redacted, you are next. Miles, what would you like to do?
Okay, so I think you are still a little bit further away. I mean, really do a whole lot.
It's only about 30 feet now. Let's move forward a little bit.
Oh, you're at 30 feet?
Yep.
Okay.
You can try for a ram if you'd like. This range spare parts is ready to rock.
But then...
we can do this, Redacted.
Redacted would be...
Oh, yeah.
All alone.
Yeah, no, this thing can literally, I think, in one turn, destroy your vehicle.
So, gonna just take a laser blast.
Yeah. Single attack or double?
Double.
Double okay. Makes it safe.
It's got a minus -2 to its AC right now, so pretty good. Ooh, yeah.
24?
Well, that's minus -4, correct?
Yes, 20 hits.
It's not... figured in. 20 right now is a hit.
Yes. All right. 8 points of damage.
8 fire. Got it.
And 17, I imagine, is a 13 is a miss.
That it is. That it is.
Okie doke. And then I guess we're all done here.
Jamfram the Mighty. Jamfram, your turn. You are muted.
Apologies.
Quite all right.
I'm about 2 actions away from this guy. If I were to charge, could I charge to this spot right here?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Would that work? Yeah, I think I will have to make a charge. Yarr! I didn't say which of the things I was pulling out, my sword or my axe. On an even, it's my axe. I pull out my axe and I charge. Yarr!
Okay. Well, a little minus -2 to your attack, but it's also got minus -2 to its armor class, so that's nice. Cool. This does provoke an attack of opportunity charging through.
I think so, yeah.
Occupied squares.
Yeah, I think it should.
Let me make an attack of opportunity on a young Jamfram. 12 on the dice. It's going to be a hit for some. Ooh, acid and piercing damage as it bites you as you come in close to it. Womp. 2d10. Oh, near max damage. 31 points of damage in total. Half acid, half piercing. But you're right next to this thing, ready with your axe.
Yeah. Great. That was probably a bad idea. Hit.
That's going to be a miss. I have dice.
I have anything? No. I don't have anything.
You got a level 6 reroll.
I do. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that damage is pretty good.
Well, you re-roll the damage, as always.
Yeah, well.
But it could be more.
Yeah, I'll re-roll it. I'll
you roll a 9, so... And you're pretty darn close.
26. Yeah.
Ah, that'll do it.
Oh, look at how terrible that damage is.
There's the trick. There's a trick. Wow. But still, all of that going through here.
All right.
Hey. Bam! Another walloping hit on this thing as we go. To last in the turn order, Zilixthel, who did not feel the vibrations and also managed to roll a 2 on initiative. So sorry, Drew.
It happens.
You're in the back. Happens. What would you like?
Zilix switches to his gear array and a gun forms in his hand. He's gonna take a shot.
Hey, what kind of weapon are we talking about here?
This is a Corona laser rifle.
Oh yeah, then you got range, right? Boom. Yeah,
120.
Yes, yes, yes. Ooh, yeah.
22.
14. That is a hit. Looks like a good mix of damage here.
Or 13 points of damage.
Okay. All right. A scored hit on this thing's dome. Maybe chips off was like some shale rock that was like still on this thing from it burrowing out of the moon's surface. That is turn 1. Turn 2. Oh, you guys waited until after it went, but it has now moved down in the initiative turn order. So yeah, I think everyone goes before this thing again, except Zilix, unfortunately. It's still beat out. Atrin Sky, so you're next.
I'll just stay where I am and try to trick and attack it.
Right, the ranged attack.
CR 12 or lower and a 10 on the attack.
Oof, toot. That is a miss. Trick went off, but no hit.
Darn.
Okay. Pray dear.
I'm going to run away and cast a spell. It cool. does nothing, right? Yeah,
it does nothing.
It does nothing at the moment. Sorry. So,
Wisp Ballet is still up, though, for...
Yeah.
Redacted's going to follow closely after. Redacted, we're on to you. Spare parts champing out of the bed. It's like, we can take him, Redacted. Put me in, coach.
Two shots.
No, the glory is not mine. Two shots, Redacted. Okay, no longer... Ooh, I was about to say, no longer does I have a reduced AC, but an 18 on the dice, even with a minus 4, is a hit.
It's a 10 points of damage.
Okay. All right. Second shot. Want to see those high double digits again.
Oh, three and one. Very badly to be 19.
Another max damage roll.
I know.
Jamfram, onto you, right next to this thing.
All right. Let's see. So a...
Three hits.
So a 9 was a miss. This thing is also... Well, yeah, it's no longer has the minus 2 to its
correct
AC, but I also have the... I also don't have the minus 2 to my attack. So did we say we think it hits on a 22? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was with the minus?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do a single attack, and indeed I'm going to challenge it. I challenge you to a duel. I'm going to
come at me, moon beetle.
Fight me. None.
It's like, okay.
29.
Ooh. Whoa. Yeah, another 18 on the dice is a hit. So
21 of the slashing as I crunch into its thing and its carapace.
Giant
and,
axe sticking out of its shoulder where its leg meets the thorax here.
Nah, yeah, no intimidate. So
nope, but that is enough to bloody this creature as you see some acidic looking ichor kind of leaking out in like little slow moving loblets that hit and stain the surface of the moon here.
I call into my comm units. It's afraid! It's afraid!
If it bleeds, we can kill it. Okay, we're back to this thing's turn. That was a lot of damage. Ashran Sky did a lot of damage. Don't really have any other abilities except murder. I guess it could eat your axe, but that seems a little mean-spirited when you're about to start in on this old Eslanti facility here.
I mean, I've got another weapon. I'm not married to this axe.
Yeah.
Patrick's like, I'll just eat the armor. It's okay.
Ah, no.
Well, still a lot of damage. And I think we're in D4 territory for rolling for some targets here. Okay, we got a blast coming to Redacted in cover and a blast coming to Zilix Thel. Oh, everyone's getting a little bit of attacky. So these are two acid blasts. Jamfram, you can make an attack of opportunity.
I will do it. I will try.
Range attack.
I'll try my best. 24.
Hit
for another 20 points of damage.
Cool. Hopefully this is gonna be worth it. This crit fishing. So against Redacted, first line on the dice with full or improved cover. What's your armor class, your KAC or EAC, Miles?
EAC is 18.
This is a hit, right? Minus 4. Yes, with the cover, this is a hit. And let me roll Zilix out in the open, but at a minus 2, because I think you're out. I guess I'll just go ahead and confirm you're outside of 60 feet. Yes. Okay. Minus 2 for Drew. Well, no crit fished, but a 16 is definitely a hit. So let me roll some acid damage for Miles. 30 points of... No, sorry. It's a whole lot less. 19 points of acid damage. And for Zilix Thel, 14 points, a lot less, so very low rolls. That's this creature's turn. Drew, we're back to you.
And I'm trying to mark my damage before. Zilix is going to boost and shoot.
Ooh, okay. Full action, single shot here, blasting away. Right ahead. Gosh.
25.
17 on the dice, a hit. And... Is this 11 points of damage? No, this is
And I need to do the boost
roll. A boost roll. Die, right?
Just making sure it's 1d6, because I think it is.
And check, make sure that doesn't go up. This is from a nanocyte ability, correct?
Yes, this is from Unstoppable Nanites, and it is 1d6.
Okay. 15 fire. 15. All right. This thing's still up as we go to turn 3 in Asher and Sky.
All right, I'll keep doing what I've been doing, I guess. Not getting close to that thing.
You can't make me, Patrick.
So you have 6 or lower.
No. Yeah.
And natural 1 on the attack.
Critical.
That's what I get for not moving closer.
That's on me, guys. That's on me. Oh, no. Yeah, the trick failed too. Critical fumble deck from official critical fumble deck from Paizo or the Crittermanders. Which would you prefer, Rebecca?
Let's do Paizo.
Okay. We are talking about a energy weapons attack. Is that right? Yes. G. Oh, no. Well, this is... Yeah, no, this is bad. It's bad. This one's called Dang It. It says reroll the attack against a randomly determined target within your line of sight that the weapon can target. And that's just about everybody, right?
Seems okay. That way.
I'm going to roll down the initiative turn order for you, if that's all right.
I would say I'm not within her line of sight, but that's fine.
You're like 20. You're the closest. Actually, I just rolled you, Tyler. I rolled the 1.
You are an absolute fiend, Monsoir.
It's because you said something. You thought you were going to be the only one that didn't get hurt this fight, Tyler. Incorrect. Asher's about to light you up. So this is just the attack roll. It's no trick with this.
Okay.
It won't matter. She'll hit a 20 or something.
Why would you say it? Why would
13.
You 13. Oh my gosh. Is that a hit, Tyler?
That's a hit.
Oh no. Are you serious?
That's my EAC exactly.
At least she can't trick you, right?
No, it's still 10 points of song damage. My goodness gracious. No extreme on this, so that's it.
There went my SP.
Dang it!
Sorry, Tyler.
All 10 of them? Oh, no.
Yeah, all right.
Brady, we're back to you, Tyler.
I'm going to hold my turn until after Redacted goes.
Redacted!
2 more shots.
Please, Redacted, let me do this. I feel like I can make a difference.
27?
That's a hit.
For 8 points damage?
That's a super hit, actually.
Oh, yeah.
On the dice, yeah.
Takes a little bit of fire. It's lit on fire. Second attack.
Was it okay? Natural 20.
The unstoppable Redacted.
Oh, with this little pea shooter now here at level 6. Little pea shooter, a cosmic crit shout out to a member of our Patreon supporters or Rittermanders online helping this podcast be produced as well as Dem and Roll No Crits. We're in book 6. We're almost done with Dem and Roll No Crits.
That's pretty wild, yeah.
Pathfinder 2nd edition. That definitely, I think, took longer than when we played it the first time, Jabert. But we also only played 5 books. Patrick B. Oh, there's another Patrick B. that supports us on Patreon. Thank you so much for your support. I think this is 3rd Patrick. You know about the other Patrick in the Discord. But thank you, Patrick B. Critical shout out to you. We're talking 16 points of fire damage. Is that right, Miles?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd pull a card in all the fancy trickery if you want, but it only had 10 hit points left. It's dead. A big old plume of dust where this thing lands belly up in the dirt, rises in front of the double doors of the airlock here, and as the dust settles, spells out the words in the ground before the airlock to be continued. Oh, on the next week's episode, we're gonna get into this facility. We're gonna see what fun things lie in wait. We're gonna take a 10-minute rest if that's what you guys want. But that's gonna do it for this week, guys.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate the
thank you. Thank oh, you Patrick. Got you beat me to the thank you. Oh, thank sorry, you. Thank you guys for playing with me.
Thanks
to
the
listeners. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you on the next Cosmic Crits.
Good night.
Farewell.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.